Years ago, as I worked with the Division of Wildlife in Ohio in forest game research, we did research on gray squirrels, red squirrels, fox squirrels, and the white-tailed deer, rough grouse, and eastern wild turkey. And as a part of my responsibilities, I had to go out in the fall, usually start in September, and start trapping wild turkeys. Now, in our office, as soon as you walked in the front door at the research station, there was a billboard there, and on that billboard there was a little paper, and it said, "It's difficult to soar like an eagle when you work with turkeys." It's true, isn't it? Yeah. And oftentimes it reminded us not of the feathered friends that we trapped, but often ourselves. Well, in that responsibility that I had in trapping, we would go out in September, and we would find a nice place where there was turkeys. We could see where they'd been scratching out in the forest, and we would find a place where we didn't have to cut down large trees, but maybe it was a brushy area, and we'd clear all the brush away. We trapped turkeys and moved them to different parts of the state. In 1907, Ohio killed the last turkey, and the habitat changed dramatically. Where it had once been 75 to 80% forested, it then became unforested, and the habitat was not suitable because they were cutting down all the trees for the iron smelting furnaces that they had. And the eastern portion of the state had a lot of iron in the sandstone, and so they were smelting a lot of iron, and so they cut down all the trees. They killed the last turkey in 1907. And when I started working with the state in 1979, the forest had grown back, the habitat had changed. And so it was my responsibility, along with the guys I work with, to start trapping turkeys and transplanting them to different portions of the state that had suitable habitat. Sometimes I would go with the division pilot, and we'd fly over the state of Ohio looking for habitat from the air and try to find places that were suitable for transplants. We used a net that was 30 feet wide by 60. It had two inch mesh on it, and it had four rockets that had rocket propellant in it that shot the net out at 100 miles an hour. Now, I would walk out through the woods, and I'd take me a bucket, something like this. I'd fill it up with cracked corn, and I'd walk out through the woods, and I'd just be dropping the bait as I walk. Just dipping it in, you know, just dropping it along. I'd walk out through that woods from the bait site as far as I could go, and as long as the bait lasted. And it wouldn't be long, a day or two, sometimes three. The turkeys traveling through that area would find that corn on the ground, and they'd start pecking up the bait. And they would walk all the way back to where we had the bait site. And we'd have a long strip of lots of bait, and we'd let them peck on that bait for 2 or 3 days. And then we would put a tent close by, cover it with pine boughs or with some hemlock boughs, and we'd put the net in, we'd camouflage it with leaves, and we'd wait for those turkeys to get on that bait early in the morning, pecking at that bait on the bait site. And when it was just right, they all had their heads down, feeding, I would tell my partner, fire, and he would touch it off, and the net would fly out over top of them, and we would trap those turkeys and take them to a new home. You know, I think of that process. That's a little bit like what the devil does to us. It's a little bit how the devil traps us. Just like those turkeys picking at the bait, the devil puts the bait out there, and we often peck at it a little bit at a time until he finally is able to shoot the net over top of us. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12. Ecclesiastes 9, 11 and 12. In Ecclesiastes 9, beginning at verse 11, it says, "And I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, and nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know, the Bible is very clear. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it tells us there that we are slaves to whoever we obey. Slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. We can either be a slave to Jesus Christ or a slave to the devil. The choice is ours. We make the choice on a day-by-day basis. Do we pick up the bait? You see, when we start in our life, adults or childhood, we don't start out to be a liar. We don't start out to be a cheat or a thief or a gossip or an adulterer, and the list could go on and on and on. We don't start out to be like that. But the devil tempts us with the bait, and little by little, we take it. But you know, we're not left with that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, it tells us that we do have hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, this is what Jesus has to say for you today. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. Can you praise God for that?
Amen.
That no matter what kind of bait the devil puts out before us, no matter how often we've pecked at it, friends, God has a way of escape, and that escape is Jesus. And He has provided a way for us to come to His throne of grace and find strength and help in time of need. That's why He is known as the Boethio. He is God who helps us in times of weakness, in times of failure. When we fall down and we start pecking at the bait with the devil, Jesus is able to deliver every one of us. We can thank God for the salvation, for the forgiveness, for the victory that we find in Jesus as we look to Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it tells us there that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith and mine. And as we look to Jesus, friends, we find victory in Jesus. It is through His shed blood that we find power. We can be thankful to Him today that He not only saves us, but He empowers us to live for Him and to resist the temptations and the bait that the devil puts before us. And in this world today, friends, there's lots of bait. Everywhere you look, the devil's got it all dressed up, looking nice and pretty and tempting. There's lots of bait for every one of us. And He makes it just right for you and me so that we'll pick at it until He finally captures us. But there is hope. And if we come to Jesus, friends, we can have victory because Jesus secured victory for us at the cross of Calvary. And He is inviting us today to come to Him. Come to Him and get the victory that He has won for us through His own sacrifice at the cross. In Revelation chapter 12, I hope that you'll follow along with me today in these scriptures that we're going to be looking at. In Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to be looking at verse number 11 here. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame Him, speaking about you and I, overcoming the devil who puts the bait out. They overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. They would have rather died than disappoint Jesus. They found victory in the shed blood of Christ. And they got victory because Jesus won victory for them. And they came to Him and He empowered them to resist the devil and all of his temptations. That's the way it's going to be in the last days, friends. In this Laodicean state of the world in which we live today, the devil is tempting us in every way he can, doing all that he can to destroy us and our faith in Jesus. And God is calling for us to come to Jesus today. In fact, the appeal in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Won't you come today? No matter who you are, no matter where you're at, no matter how the devil's tempted you today, there's hope, there's victory, there's power in Christ and His shed blood. And He's appealing to us today to come to Him and find victory for our own life. Now, giving up to the devil, giving in to his temptations, keeps us from looking up and being positive. It makes us discouraged. It depresses us. It brings anxiety and stress into our life, and we have a hard time looking up. But Jesus reminds us this world's coming to an end, and he's about to come back here and take us home. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus is telling us to look up. And as we look and see what's happening in the world today, friends, we can't help but come to the realization that Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon for every one of us. And he tells us to look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. And as we look at what's happening and the prophecies that are being fulfilled, the way the world is going today, friends, we can't help but notice something drastically is changing in our world. Jesus is about to return. And he tells us to stop looking down and start looking up. Stop looking at the horizontal and look at the vertical. Look at Jesus, who sits on the throne beside God in heaven. And he's telling us to look up to him for our redemption, for our victory, for our strength. We need to look up to him because he's the one who can empower us. As we look to Jesus for strength, for encouragement, for hope, for victory, we will also be looking up to our Redeemer with thankfulness in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, reminds us of being thankful to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Be thankful. Be content. Be happy with what God has given to every one of us. And the one thing that we can really be overjoyed about is that Jesus has kept us from the devil. He has saved us through his victory from the devil's snare. And we need to be looking up to Jesus. It is possible, friends, for us to soar like an eagle. It's possible when we look to the Redeemer and find victory in him. We can soar like the eagles. We trust in Jesus to save us. We trust in Jesus to deliver us from the devil. And that's exactly what Jesus tries to tell us all the time. And as we put our thoughts heavenwards with thankfulness for what God does for us on a daily basis, friends, may we find at the end of our life not a net to trap us, but a beautiful home in heaven with Jesus. And he's promised that for every one of us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Have you read that lately? It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Look up, friends, to your Redeemer. Your redemption is drawing near. And when the devil's got your head down because of discouragement and guilt and because of depression, look up to your Redeemer for hope. Look up to your Redeemer for encouragement and strength and victory. Look up to Jesus. And may we find Jesus to be the one who will lift us up to his very throne. In Psalms 103, we're going to begin reading at verse number 8. Psalm 103. Beginning at verse number 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Can you say amen to that? "And like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, and so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them." May we never forget Jesus and the blessings that he gives to us daily. And especially that great blessing that he's given to all of us through his redemptive act at Calvary. May we always remember what Jesus has done for us. Turn with me, if you will, in the New Testament to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Paul is speaking to us again about his thankfulness in God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." This morning in the Sabbath, before Sabbath school began, and Sheila was bringing this church who were present to a realization of their thankfulness for what God has done for every one of us, I wanted to stand up and shout for him. But I knew I had this sermon coming and I wanted to wait. Years ago, my sons and I, when we were in the southwestern portion of Indiana in the Vincennes district, my boys and I went out to a park, and we were going to go there and just play around in the park for the day. We stopped at a little old country store, and there was this guy sitting at the cash register, and he had long hair and a big long beard. I said to him, "How you doing today?" He says, "You know what I think? Any day above ground is a good day." I praise God today for my health. I praise God today that my heart is still beating and I'm still breathing fresh air. I praise God for everything that he has given me. I praise God and thank him for calling me to the ministry. I thank God for you, who he has called to the ministry as well. I thank God for your faithfulness to him, your willingness to make this church function and work the way God wants it to in this community. I praise God for everything that he has given to me. Every time we eat, it's a blessing from God. Everything that we have is a blessing that comes down out of heaven from God the Father to each one of us. I thank him for all of those things that he has given to each one of us. I'd like to ask you today, are you able to still thank God? Can you thank him and praise him for his mercy, for his goodness, for his love, for his patience, for his long suffering, and for the forgiveness that we find in Jesus? Who would like to just thank Jesus today? You could just sit right where you're at. Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Is there someone else you'd like to praise God today? Thank you, Ralph.
I thank the Lord for my wonderful wife. Amen. And my family. Thank you. And also, you call the ministry.
Amen. Yes, sir. What a blessing. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Sheila.
I'm thankful also for my church family. In times of trials during the week, I can reach out to them and faithfully with my family. I'm very, very thankful for that, because that's one thing people are searching for, I believe. Because their families, their earthly families, you know, their own families are broken and they do want to, but you can count on your church family to be there for you and to encourage you. And I thank you for my family.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, Lisa.
Always do what we're supposed to do, bless us in a way, and I'm just truly grateful.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, Dina. Amen. Thank you. Yes, Morse.
I thank God for the good woman I have in my family.
Amen. Yes. Well, you, yes.
Well, I just think all of our blessings, you can take and bless us, even though we don't deserve it. And for our church family, and my family, and then Sean, give me the direction, and Sean, give me the truth.
Thank you. Yes.
I say ditto to my mom. Thank you. So thankful for our family, for our children. I'm thankful especially for the young people that have come here today.
Yes.
I'm so glad to see them. God has something special in mind, and I want to encourage each of the young people to follow the Lord. Wonderful times in which we live, and the Lord needs to use each one of
us. Amen. Yes, Linda. Yeah, praise the Lord.
And I'm thankful for a loving, patient, forgiving God that is always there for me.
Amen.
And
yes.
But this church never gives up.
Amen. Katie? Amen. Yeah, my, you know, we heat with wood, and in the room where that, where the stove is at, it can be 84, 85 degrees in there. I mean, hot for me. Linda can walk in the next room where it's 74, and she say, "My, it's cold in here. We need to put some wood on the fire." Praise God that we have a home that we can go to, and that God has provided for all of our needs. And His grace is sufficient for every need that you and I have. Was there someone else had their hand up? Is Tom? Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Yes. 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 Thank you. Loretta. Mm-hmm.
He's thankful to the world for His care for us, His love for us, His confidence, working with each one of us shortly for the ego. Thank you for my family, especially for my children. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for my family too, like you. And I hope that this Thanksgiving, that we can not only thank God for all that He's given us, but we can remind our families how great and good God is and thank Him before our families so that they can hear our thankfulness of God who provides everything for us. May God bless you and your family at this Thanksgiving season. May God draw you close together as a family and protect you from the snares of the devil. May God pour out His richest blessings upon you and your family during this holiday season. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You and praise You that You're a God who is always there, ready and willing to help us in time of need. You hear and answer our prayers. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings to us. And every day, we count our blessings because of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would bless our families during this holiday season. When we're gathered around the table, may we be thankful for what You've put on the table for us to eat. May we be thankful for what You've done in bringing our family together to enjoy fellowship together. And Lord, I especially thank You for Jesus, who is with us day after day, blessing us with His presence. May Your Holy Spirit guide us to You during this time of year. In Jesus' name, amen.